written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Well, we're still studying in the book of Acts, and we've been in here for, boy, a lot longer than I thought we would be, to be honest with you, but it's been well over a year, and we're still struggling along in chapter 15. I mean, we hadn't even got to the middle, hardly, of the whole thing, but if you will, look with me in chapter number 15, in verse number 36, and we're gonna look at some things that happens in this time of getting everything lined up for Paul and his group, his team, that go on in the missionary journeys that he has started, as we started back here just a little bit ago in this chapter, and how that, you know, we've seen the change in from activity places from Jerusalem, where the disciples, the apostles, where all of that started, and then they began to spread out. And God put it upon Paul to become the apostle of the Gentiles. And God put that in his heart, and he's working toward that end. I believe you're going to see a little bit more of that tonight as we look at it. And we know that they've already come back from their missionary journey. They've come back, and him and Barnabas that were there. And if you remember early on in that mission journey, while they were traveling, they went through the little land, the little island of Cyprus. And if you got your map with you, you can go back and refresh yourself with that. But they went to Cyprus, and as they went to Cyprus, they found that John Mark, the youngest member of their team, by the time they got through that and went on over from there and headed toward the land of Pamphylia, when they were headed to that area, that John Mark decided he won't go to the house. There was something about that just, it either scared him, intimidated him, or, you know, there's something there. And we don't know. I mean, apparently we don't need to know. All we know is that he left, he turned, and he went back home, leaving Paul and Barnabas to do the work. And not that they couldn't do it, but, you know, there's always a little bit lighter load when you got more people. But anyway, we go through that. They go through the land. And if you, again, follow on your map, you see how that there was a great trip. And I think we decided it was like maybe 400 plus miles in one direction and 400 and something miles in the opposite direction. And they traveled that by foot. And it was a wearisome time. And they were in a foreign land. And, you know, just all the things that you could think of that might be negatives in that, they were. But Paul was determined. Barnabas was determined. And they went on their way and preached the gospel, established churches, and saw people saved. So that was the point of the whole business. And then, you know, they came back and they've had a problem with some of the Jewish believers going and trying to teach some of these other people that they needed to follow Jewish law, and how that Paul and Peter and even James, the head of the church, have put that in its place. And they sent a letter, last time we looked at it, they sent a letter back to those people in Antioch and let them know that they had to do no such thing, but they did leave a few restrictions for them and a few things they need to follow. So anyway, that's where we are right now, okay? We are looking at that, and coming on in verse number 36 of chapter 15, if you're looking that, chapter 15, look down at verse number 36, and it says, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of God and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark." John Mark that we just talked about. "But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed them from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would, tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for the good songs and the fellowship we've enjoyed here already tonight. bless the word and all those that hear it, those that are here, those that are listening by way of Facebook. I pray, God, you just be a blessing to them. Stir our hearts and help us to be more like you. Help us to know more about your word. Help us to be better grounded and made more sure in the things that we believe and we trust. And we'll just thank you for that. And Lord, if there's somebody tonight listening that needs you, I pray, speak to their hearts. Show them their need of Christ Jesus. And again, we'll just give you praise and worship tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, I want you to look at these verses with me, if you will. And this is the beginning right here, as you begin to see this in verse 36. It is the beginning of the second missionary journey. And that's what we'll just call this, the beginning of the second missionary journey. And that's Paul has at least four of these trips that he makes, and you'll see that as we go along, and the visits that he makes. But you see the premise that Paul has right here in the beginning of this. And you see, as we begin to talk about these verses, you see that the main people involved with them are, again, Paul and Barnabas and John Mark, who was with them before earlier, and then also a man that's introduced, already been introduced to us, by the name of Silas, a man by the name of Silas. These are the main characters that we see in this little section of the story, and they're just the main characters. Just, you know, something for you to think about and realize, you know, when you're doing Bible studies and you're working on some of these things yourself, one good thing to do is to look at the characters involved and see what part they're playing, what's going on. It just helps you in the understanding of the scripture and the understanding of how the Bible flows and how the thought processes are. It helps you when you get some of that information. It helps you to know where they are and the context of the passages. What's going on before it and after it and all that. Those are some good things to know and look at when you're doing Bible study. And that's just, you know, something good for any kind of Bible study you'll do. So, as I say, these are our main characters: Paul, Barnabas, John, Mark, and Silas. And they are there with us. But I want you to notice as we look at this and chop this up in some little pieces, if you will. First of all, I want you to notice with me in verse number 36, let's talk about Paul's pressing desire. Paul has a pressing desire that may not appear so obvious to me and you in reading the verse, but there is something there when you begin to read it. It said, "And some days after," that's after all the things, they've come back and they've been through this discussion and they've taken a letter and they're there at the place of Antioch and they're teaching and they're helping those folks there. "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they do." Boy, I mean, Paul has what I'm calling a pressing desire. Paul has a want to go. I don't know if you can see it or not. I hope you can as you just kind of read it and just think with me about it. But I believe Paul has this sudden and probably lingering, it's probably been there for a while, this desire has come up in him and he wants to go back and see all of those folks that he has helped establish in the churches on that first trip. I mean, he's like, I want to go see how they're doing. You know how we are like that sometimes. You meet somebody or you go to a place or an event or a situation and sometimes you sit back and you reminisce about it and you think, boy, I'd like to go back and do that again. I'd like to be there. I'd like to see those folks. I'd like to be, maybe you've been to, you know, a camp meeting or a revival or some other kind of even secular event and you just, I'd like to go back and see those folks again. They were a blessing to me. That is an exciting thing. There for several years, we got the privilege to go to the Smoky Mountain Gospel Jubilee for several years before all the COVID stuff hit. And man, that was a meet. And you know what? You'd get up there and you'd see people that you knew from before. I mean, you had probably your own people that you went with, but you saw some people you knew from before and you got to fellowship and get around them and just had a good time and everybody got together and worship. And man, it's just something you begin to think about that. Well, that's what Paul is doing here. He he's sitting and he's some time is passing. No doubt he's preaching. No doubt he's teaching. No doubt he's helping, doing whatever he can. But he looks at Barnabas and said, you know what? I got a itching to get back out there on the trail and see all of those places that we've been before. He said, I want to go back and see how these brethren are where we preach the word of the Lord and just see how they do, see how they are doing, as we might say here in the South. But you see that it is Paul speaking to Barnabas. Now, maybe Barnabas has that same concern. I don't know. But at least I know that Paul does. I know that Paul has this pressing desire. First of all, I want you to notice that we talked about the time this happened. It says some days after. Now, how long was that? We don't know. Was it a week? Was it a month? Was it 3 months? Was it, you know, a few months? I don't know. We don't have any idea on the time. And again, apparently that's not an important fact for us to know. And some days after. But I want you to notice, not only do you notice the time, and it was some days after all of these events that we've just read and studied, the temperature that's going on at this place. I believe Paul, as the old saying, I believe old Paul is hot to trot, amen? I believe he's wound up in some way that he wants to go see these guys. And he's like, man, we got to get back over there and check on those folks. Do you know what's happened since we've been gone? I mean, anything could have happened. They probably could have fallen from the faith. Somebody could have come in and wrecked the church. I mean, there's some things going on. And Barnabas, we need to go back and see how they are doing. I mean, he's got a desire in there. He is, you know, ready, itching, eager, ready to go. A fellow by the name of Stephen Guzik says this. He said, Paul had the heart of an obstetrician. He wanted to see people birthed into the family of God, but as well, he had the heart of a pediatrician. He wanted to go back and check on his little children and make sure that they were doing well. Amen? I mean, that's exactly what he's got a heart for and a desire for here in this. And I want you to notice, look, here's the task. He says, here's what we're set to do. He said, let's go and visit, go again and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they do. He said, this is the task that I think is set before us. They've been on one missionary journey. They are now settled in the city of Antioch, and they're preaching and they're teaching, and no doubt they're helping people. No doubt people are being saved and added to the church, and no doubt about any of those things. But now I want you to know, here is Paul, and he says, I think we need to go check on those folks. Amen? Have you ever thought about that when our missionary folks come in? Like here recently, there was Brother and Sister Nix, and they came in, visited with us, and they told us about how their work had been going, how things had been progressing in the ministry as they saw people saved and where they'd been, you know, all that kind of thing. It's just a good thing to know. And Paul wanted to go back and see those folks. And he said, look, I want to go back and visit every one of them again and see what they're doing and what this is. Can I tell you what that is? That is just as Paul is having the heart of a pastor. That's the heart of a pastor. A pastor wants to know his folks are doing good, that his folks are okay. He wants to check on them if they're sick or if they're down and out or if they've got some issues or he knows something that's going on with them personally. A pastor wants to know about some of those things, and he prays about them, and he sure would like to check up and check in on folks and find out how they're doing. And I want you to know that's the kind of heart that we see that Paul has in this instance. That's what he's doing. So, as I say, I want you to notice that you see Paul's pressing desire. His desire is that he is concerned about all of those Christians that are there that he has left, and he's not sure what kind of situations they're now in. And I tell you, that's one thing, you know, why we come to the church and get together is so that we can kind of check on each other. when we come in. Isn't that what y'all do? How you doing? Huh? What's been going on? And then somebody tells you maybe they got an issue. And why do we do? Well, we'll pray with you about that. We're certainly sad to hear that. Or we're gonna bind with you. We're going to join in with you on that or whatever it is. And we need to know those things about each other so that we can encourage, uplift, and help in any way that we can our brothers and our sisters in the Lord. Amen? I mean, that's what we need to do. So here's Paul is as I say, got a pressing desire. But second of all, look at this, if you'll notice this. Paul, let's look at Paul's problematic decision. Paul's got to make a decision about something. Now look at this with me, if you will, in verse number 37. It says, and Barnabas. So Barnabas says, okay, Paul, let's go. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed them, or from them, with from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. So you can already see something's a-brewing, right? And it said there in verse number 38, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. In verse 40, and Paul chose Silas and departed. And it talks about where he went. So let me just set this up this way. Can you believe that two fine Christian men as these two had a beef with each other? Isn't that amazing to hear about that situation? I mean, it is to me. I mean, you think, and you know, sometimes when you first saved, some of the first things you say, you think, every Christian gets along with every other Christian. Well, they never have a crossword. They never have a bad day. They never have a tough time. They always pull together. That way, let me just tell you, right here you're seeing something that I believe God has put in here for us to understand, hey, sometimes these things happen. Sometimes things happen, and, you know, how do you explain it? Well, I have no idea. I mean, Paul has a problematic decision to make in this situation. Well, not only Paul, but Barnabas both. They have a decision to make. In other words, I'm telling you that there are times when brothers and sisters in the Lord can have some issues with one another. Amen? I heard somebody tell, and they said it's a true story. I don't know about a pastor that had some church members that kind of got at odds, and he was trying to preach and uplift and magnify the Lord and help the saints out and all this, but they had a little issue down at the church, and I mean, sounds crazy to me, but they were going to have a supper. They're going to have a supper, and one of the men in the church felt like a good idea. They were trying to have a high day, a special time of, you know, they had a drive on or something, trying to raise money, raise funds or something. And this one guy, they were going to have a meal. And this one guy wanted to take little paper cups and fill them with seeds and put them on the tables. And he thought, man, that's a good idea. We're trying to raise money, and this is an idea, and we'll just put these little seeds out here in these little cups and maybe even, you know, some little fancier-looking cups or little bowls or whatever. Put these seeds out here on the table. Well, you know, I'm voting for it. I'm okay. One of the ladies in the congregation came to him, and it wasn't his wife. It was somebody else. And she said, "Humph," you know, one of those humps. She said, "That will not do. I believe we ought to have some better decorations at every table. Every table ought to have a better decoration than seeds. We'll make some flowering plants, and that will remind folks of growth and you know, and it'll be a lot prettier than a bunch of little seeds." Well, they kind of got fussy with each other. If you can imagine that now. I mean, this is in a Baptist church. Two folks, a man and a woman, got to being fussy with each other over a little situation like that. And it continued on and on and on. Well, finally, the pastor heard that the people had some words with each other. They came to words, pretty strong words. And so he went to the man and said, Brother so-and-so, he said, I think you need to go apologize to sister such-and-such, you know. You need to go apologize to her. And he looks at her and he said, I did apologize to her. He said, oh, really? He said, well, now, she didn't tell me that. He said, you did apologize? He said, yeah. He said, I told her that I was sorry that she was wrong, didn't know what she's talking about. Hallelujah. And he still thought he was right. And, you know, that happens a lot of times, right? I mean, but, yeah, he apologized in a very backhanded and a unusual manner. He said, well, I'm sorry that you're so ignorant that you don't know what ought to be done. But, you know, and that's, I've heard some of them apologies before. Been involved with some of them, by the way. But let me just tell you this, you know, and the story goes on. And as I say, this is supposed to be a true story, that the pastor said both families, he tried to get them together and work it out, but both families eventually wound up leaving the church. So who's the winner there? Nobody, right? Nobody. Well, you can have problems, and you will. And let's look at the way this problem developed. First of all, notice this. Notice the determination that you see in Barnabas. Listen to what it says. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. He said, I say we're going to take John Mark with us. He was determined. Webster's has an old dictionary that has this definition of that thought of being bound and determined about something. Having a very strong feeling that one is going to do something and not allow anyone or anything to get in his way. Very determined. That's a pretty good understanding of that phrase and that idea of being bound and determined to do something. And that's what Barnabas was. He was bound and determined that he was taking. I mean, this wasn't just a slight suggestion. This wasn't just like, well, can we take him along with? That wasn't what it was. This was, we are taking John Mark with us. I mean, he was determined. Now, let me just say this. Old John Mark messed up, didn't he? He messed up the first time around. He went with them so far in the beginnings of that trip, and as they got into the land of Pamphylia, and they were getting ready to make the hardest part of the journey probably, he turns around and he goes back home. And Paul must be awfully ticked at him right about now. And you know what? Paul never got over that. So they're getting ready to go on this trip, and basically the same trip again, and Paul says, no, he's not going with us. And Barnabas says, I am bound and determined that boy is going with. You remember what they called Barnabas, right? Barnabas has been named to us early on in the book of Acts, and he is called the son of consolation. And what that means is he is an encourager of those that need encouragement. I mean, if you remember when Paul comes in and everybody's not sure about Paul, who recommended him? Barnabas, who went and saw the brethren at Antioch and called for Paul to come help him teach them, that was Barnabas. He is the fellow that gets behind things and encourages people in doing what they can. And listen, what he's saying is, I believe that John Mark needs a second chance, don't you? And Paul said, no, I don't think so. He ain't going with us. I mean, this is the place where they are. These are two grown men. These are two rather well-aged men. These are two Christian, fine Christian principled men, but they have a disagreement. You see the decision. I mean, the determination that comes from the side where Barnabas is. And then I want you to notice the dissent that comes from Paul. Notice what it says there. It said, but Paul thought not good to take him with them. He said, this is not going to be good if we take him with us. It's not good. That's not a good thing. I mean, I don't know that the vocabulary we have here emphasizes these words strongly enough. But as I say, Barnabas says, I'm bound and determined that boy is going with us. And here's Paul said, he ain't going with us. And he said, I'm not going to have it. It's not going to happen. Paul is dissenting from this whole situation. He doesn't want it. Now, as I say, I believe, you got the idea that God is a God of the second chance. Amen? Aren't you glad that God gave Jonah a second chance? Aren't you glad that God gave Peter a second chance when Peter messed up? And aren't you glad Jesus went and talked to Peter and told him, "Lovest thou me?" I mean, he didn't jump on him. He didn't throw him out. He didn't say, "You're done," or nothing like that. He just kept on praying for him, working with him, and encouraging him. So sometimes that's what we should do. And sometimes it comes to a place where men being men, they just dig their heels in. And that's just the way it's going to be. And can you tell you, and you probably, pray that we don't. But I have seen in my Christian life, I've seen things come to that. Amen? And look, let's look at the decision that's involved here. The final decision that is made. Let me ask you this question. Who's right and who's wrong? I don't know. I mean, I don't think we can make any determination of that. What is right and what is wrong? I mean, these two could not come together, so they come apart. Isn't that amazing? I mean, these two guys had been through some other tussles and things together in the gospel in this other trip. They'd been hundreds of miles. They'd traveled through rough territory and hard times. And now comes to some little old bitty thing like this, and it tears them apart. Isn't that crazy? But let me just tell you, don't let those things surprise you. Don't let that kind of stuff surprise you, because it happens every day. Let me just tell you this. I wrote this down. This is something that I found that I don't know who this was that said. Okay, it was a guy by the name of Brian Harbor said this. He said there are three elements generally when church issues come up. Here's the first one: personalities. And in the area of personality, it winds up being who's in charge. Who's the boss of this thing? Right? I mean, when there's a disagreement, it's like, well, are you for him or for him? Who's in charge over this? That's the first area that it generally happens in. The second area is policy. Policy is this idea: how do we get this done? Well, we ought to do like we've always done it. We ain't never done nothing different, and we ain't about to change now. Somebody say amen right there, because they said that's the words of a dying church. We've never done it this way before. Amen? And that's policy. That always causes friction and problems when there's an issue over policy. So you got the idea of policy, you got the idea of personalities, and thirdly, you've got the idea of pride. Who's going to get the credit and the acclaim for what's been done? Who's going to have their name put up somewhere? Who's going to get all the clapping and the applause? Who's going to get recognized down front? Who is everybody going to say, oh, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so did this? Who's going to get that? And that's what a lot of folks are worried about. That's how church conflicts usually happen. And if you'll notice there, none of it has anything to do with spiritual doctrine or matters. It's not spiritual. It's personality, it is policy, and it is pride. And those things are still wrong in God's book. I want you to notice that the Bible says here that when Paul is saying that, when they're talking about this, verse 39, it says, and the contention was so sharp between them. Look at that word contention. It's a Greek word that is pronounced paroxysmos, or paroxysmos. It's P-A-R-A-X-U-M-O-U-S, paroxysmos. And the idea, we get an English word for it that's called paroxysm. a paroxysm. And if you're ever around medical folks and you hear them talk about something being paroxysmal, it means it's something that comes on all of a sudden and it does some damage, and it is a violent, violent reaction to something. It's something has caused it, and it just kind of blows up. I mean, it's kind of like a seizure could be called a paroxysmal event. You know, it just all of a sudden comes on, causes a lot of damage, and then the person maybe passes out or lies rather still and lifeless for a while. That's paroxysmal. Paroxysmal asthma in some people. They all of a sudden have an attack where they can't breathe, and it takes a while to get over it. It comes on all of a sudden, comes on violently, causes a lot of damage, and then they have a time to recuperate. That is what that word right there means when it says there was a contention between Paul. This was something that it blew up on both of these men. I mean, the contention. This wasn't some little, well, you know, I disagree with you. We'll agree to disagree. That wasn't this kind of thing. This was a full-blown, I don't say they were shouting and yelling, but buddy, there was something going on. And I can imagine voices got raised and fingers got pointed and all of those kind of things happened during this. And again, the decision, I don't know. I mean, we don't have anything of a decision. I mean, it is any kind of disagreement, as I said, is not good, and it's not a God, okay? When God's not in that kind of stuff, trust me. You say, well, preacher, that was Paul. That was Paul, all right. And you know what that tells me? Paul's just as human as me and you. He can have the same troubles, the same issues, and act the same silly ways that me and you do sometimes. Amen? Let me get at least one good amen out of that, like me and you do, okay? All right, so there is this contention. As I said, there's Paul's problematic decision. There's a decision to be made with this situation. But look what it says. It says this problem was so sharp between them, the contention was so sharp, that they departed asunder one from the other. That word where it says they departed asunder, it's just like you ripped something apart. I mean, this tore them apart. And you do not ever read of them getting together, praying through it, working it out, anything along that. You don't see that in the Bible. I don't know that they did, and I don't know that they didn't, but we're not seeing it if it did happen that way. This looks like, let's just go our ways. And that's what happens. It says that here Barnabas took Mark, sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas, and he departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Let's look at that last part just for a minute, and let's talk about Paul's parting determinations. Let's see what this parting did and brought. And now, you know, sometimes, I don't know about y'all, if I ever get into a little bit of a row or a fuss or anything like that, and it's kind of hard for me to calm down, get my mind back on what I was doing. I'm the only one in the room that's like that. Oh, okay. I'm just checking, because the rest of y'all like, don't ever happen to me. I can yell at my husband all day long. Hallelujah, I'm okay. I'd shout at my wife and praise God, it's okay. No, I don't think that happens. It takes you a while to kind of work through some of those things. Well, I mean, here they are. They've contended. They thought. They thrust. They even had a, you know, bad disagreement. And now they got to put on that holy face and get back to God's work. And I'll just tell you, that's kind of tough. Kind of a hard thing. But and as I say, you notice here, Paul's got this young man by the name of Silas, and he's taking him with him, and it says they're going. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Notice this, if you will, as he goes. First of all, notice this. Notice the choosing of Silas. He chose Silas. Now, this is Paul. Paul chose Silas. I believe he prayed about it. I believe maybe God showed him. I don't have necessarily Bible for that, but it does say that Paul chose Silas. And I think a godly man would have put some prayer and some seeking of God into that and let the Spirit lead him. I think he would have done that. So he chooses this man by the name of Silas. But why in the world did he choose Silas? Why not somebody else. Why didn't he go get Peter? Why didn't he go get one of the other disciples that were about? Why didn't he find Thomas or find, you know, James that's there at Jerusalem and say, well, you know, I've lost my buddy. Come on, help me. And, you know, find somebody. But he chooses a man by the name of Silas. What do we know? What have we found out about Silas? Well, Silas, according to the scriptures, and I'm telling you, if you'll look here in chapter number 15, look back at verse number 22. And it says, then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. So I believe one reason why Paul chose Silas was because he was one of the leading men of the church at Jerusalem. I believe he wanted somebody that had something about him that could help him. And this man was a leader in the church. Paul said, I need somebody like you. And he wasn't trying to butter him up, and he wasn't trying to buy him, and he wasn't trying to influence him. He just said, I need somebody, and I believe you'll be a strong enough man to help me in the situation. So he picked him because he's a leader of men. Not only that, he's a prophet. Look in verse number 32 of chapter 15. What does the Bible tell you there about that? It says, and Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves. So Silas was a prophet. He understood the Word of God. He had handled the Word of God. He had some insight into the Word of God. He was a Bible man, in other words. He was a fellow that was accustomed to the Word of God. He is a prophet. Not only that, in chapter 16, and we'll read this after a little bit, we'll see that when Paul and Silas get thrown in jail, that they both reveal that they are Roman citizens. And that's got to be a good thing for somebody to travel with Paul. If they have Roman citizenship, it would be a plus. And not only that, from what we read here, Silas is going with them in chapter 15 to the two times he's mentioned, he probably knew some other languages, and maybe especially Greek. He was probably a fellow that was well-rounded in some of those kind of things, educated. And then, as you know, toward the end of these things, Silas wrote one of Peter's letters, and also probably helped Paul in some of his writings because he was there with him a lot and he mentions him in some of the things he did. So he chose the right guy. He chose a man that was going to be very helpful to him in the ministry. He was going to choose somebody. He chose Silas. So you see the choosing. Second of all, don't you notice this, that the Bible here mentions the recommendation or the commendation of the church. It says there in verse 40, Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren, and that's talking about from the church, unto the grace of God. I believe there was sort of a commissioning from the church. There was a admiration toward these men. They said, man, it's like they're saying, go get them. We're behind you. We're here for you. We'll help you. We'll pray for you. We recommend you to those, and the grace of God be with you. Go out and preach the Word of God. And I believe that's what happened as you see this story unfolding. And then the last thing I want you to notice there in verse number 41, it said, and he, it's talking about Paul, and especially there was Silas with him, he went through Syria and Cilicia confirming the churches. Paul went through those areas that had already been through before, and they confirmed. And that word confirm means to establish or to settle and set. And they went through, and Silas was there to help him in the preaching, in the doctrine, in the helping of those folks in those churches. There was Silas to help him get through all of this work that he had to do as they went on this second part of the missionary journey. Now, we're going to find out more about that. And as I mentioned to you, Paul and Silas wind up in jail. We'll get into that as we get into chapter number 16. But that's just the way we're covering those things right now. I'm just kind of slowly going through them. But there is Paul and Silas. Now they're on the journey. And pretty soon we're going to meet somebody else that jumps in the story with them. It's a little young fellow by the name of Timotheus. Or we know him as Timothy. And he's certainly going to be a bright young man coming on. And every good man of God needs some young preachers. Amen? Young preachers need to be around. Y'all see my young preacher, Brother Sprayberry? He's about the youngest one I got with. Praise God. He's a young'un. Amen. God use him. God bless him. So, amen. I bet he feel like he's a young man. But anyway, that's what's coming up in the next little bit of our study. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's sing some verse of a song, if you would, tonight. And